death, therefore, what is earthly in you? You know, of course, that anytime you see a therefore in Scripture, you ought to ask yourself, well, what is it therefore? What is the therefore, therefore? Therefore. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. That means that what comes next is a consequence, an inference, an implication of what has come previous. Because we have been raised with Christ, because we are seated with Him in heavenly places, because we have died to the world and realm of sin and our life is hidden with Christ in God, because our future is nothing less than having the likeness of Christ in glory together with Him, sin no longer fits. You are like a butterfly, recently having come out of a cocoon. The clothing that you wore when you were a caterpillar no longer fits. You imagine the image? A butterfly trying to put on a sweater that he wore when he was a caterpillar. Something just right above the shoulders doesn't fit anymore. Your old way of life no longer fits. If you've been raised with Christ, then this is not you. The anger, the immorality, the impurity, the malice, the lying, it no longer fits. And so put it to death, therefore. You partake of a higher and better life. Life in Christ through the Spirit. You notice that he gives a reason. It's not just a list of rules. I've said it before, but we always need to beware. Anytime that someone proclaims to you the do without the done, the finished work of Jesus Christ is the dominant and ruling reality in our lives. Ed Clowney once said that there is no spiritual instruction that is not given in the context of redemption in the Bible. You notice that even in Exodus, when God is about to give 10 commandments to His people, in Exodus chapter 19, He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians before your eyes, and how I lifted you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession." That the context of instruction is always redemption. And so here, this is not a list of rules whereby you can look at it and say, if I want to have favor with God, then I must do X, Y, and Z. No. This is the testimony of God's redeeming work and its impact in the day-to-day of your life and of my life. And so while He does give commands, put to death, put away, put off, He gives a reason that is rooted in the work of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, when He says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator." And of course, that applies not just to lying, but to all of these which we are to put to death and put off. Do not be angry. Do not commit sexual immorality. Do not be guilty of evil desire or malice. Why? You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. What we are and what we do are integrally, intimately connected. If it walks like a duck and if it talks like a duck, quacks like a, it might be a duck. You've put off the old self, and so you ought no longer to walk like the old man, to talk like the old man, to love what the old man loves. You've put off the old self with its practices, and not only so, but praise God, have put on the new self. He says, the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. How good a thing this is. And those of us who have trusted in Christ are right now being renewed. Right now, being made new. That as we look to Christ, in true knowledge, not technical mere head knowledge, but in true knowledge that affects our entire being, we are being made new. Revelation 21, John says, and the one who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, that's not just a future statement. It is not just that when heaven comes, the one seated on the throne will say, "Behold, I am making all things new." Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are being made new now in knowledge that as we attend to the Word of God, through faith, the powerful working of God in the Spirit, we are being made new. You and I, every day, we're like Lazarus. And it is the voice of God which calls us out. "Lazarus, come forth." And the command creates life. We're like the primordial darkness at the beginning of creation. And it is the voice of God which brings light. "Let there be light." And the light didn't say, "Let me think about it." Or, "Do you have a tract or a pamphlet that I can take and read at home?" Or, "Perhaps is there an informational meeting that I can come to?" "Let there be light." And there was light. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, "But the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Such that now, he says, we are being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. This is why we're so big on the Bible. It's not just here. Here's our charter. Here's our Constitution. You need to read it if you're going to join up, but don't worry. There are people who know this thing inside and out, and you can trust them, and you know they'll do all the heavy lifting for you. Well, that might work in an organization or in a church. This isn't the license user agreement when you download the new version of, you know, Windows Office onto your computer. You know, that thing that you always skip past, and then later you find out you promised your firstborn son to Windows or something like that. No. This isn't just our charter. This is the voice of God making us new as we attend to it in faith and obedience, loving submission, renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. And so therefore now, something has happened. There's an identity that has been exchanged, and Paul illustrates it with human identities. He says, Here, in this new sphere of existence, being in Christ, having died and having our life hidden with Christ in God, here, having put off the old self, put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator, here, there is no Jew or Greek. There is no circumcised and uncircumcised. There is no barbarian or Scythian or slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. Christ is in all. We partake of a new social reality, we who have trusted in Jesus Christ. A reality that is marked not by our old allegiances, our old preferences, our old convictions and opinions, our old family ties, but which is marked by the new life of Jesus Christ in us. Puritan Henry Scougal wrote a book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And to him, as he's reading the scriptures, that's salvation. The life of God in the soul of man. He takes it from Paul, who says, "How eager I am among you until Christ is formed in you." The imprint of the divine made on the human heart. That's the new life we inhabit. That's the new society in which we find ourselves by faith. Here's the point of all this. I mean, next week, Paul gives a lot of instructions as to the put on, right? So this is sort of a part one. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. But here's the point of all this. We struggle with sin. We often do not feel as though we have been made new. The same proclivities, the same temptations, the same strongholds rule in our life today, just as they did yesterday when we first trusted in Jesus Christ. And so sometimes this may cause us to doubt the legitimacy of our conversion or of our regeneration. And Paul would give us two instructions. Really, one principle and one instruction. First, he would say, this is not who you are anymore. There has been a state change. A state change. Perhaps once this was natural to you. Sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires, passions, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander. Perhaps at one point in time it was natural to you. But now it is no longer. Before we knew Christ, when we sinned, we were doing what nature demanded. We were acting instinctually. Now, when we sin, if we are in Christ, we are cutting against the grain. We may still have deeply ingrained habits and patterns, but we are acting against our new instincts in the Lord when we sin. This should encourage you. Though we have deeply ingrained habits and patterns, denying sin is going with the new flow, is acting according to your new instincts. It is the new normal into which we need to step. That's why we set our minds on things above, as per last week. That's why we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We're putting new patterns and habits and norms into our minds. So that would be Paul's first sort of comfort. The first principle of the new life. You are not who you were. But the second would be this. That in the putting off and the putting on, it is essential that as we put on the new self, we recognize that we are being renewed in knowledge. We cannot stress this enough. The Christian life is not complex, nor is the Christian life some grand mystery. How do I become holy? Read your Bible and pray every day. That's what we tell children, isn't it? It is no less true for us. If you are being renewed in knowledge after the image of your Creator, then what you must do is open the Word. Read it. Submit to it. Surrender to it. Look. Listen. Receive. Such that the shape, the texture, the flavor of the Scripture becomes the texture and the shape of our own lives. That as we read it, not as a duty, but in faith. That as we read it, not mechanically, but in the love of God, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we are being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. That's the instruction that Paul will have for us. We've entered a new sphere. And that new sphere of life in Christ has new social and ethical dimensions. What we need to know is that we are new. And that in order for us to participate in the work of God in our hearts and minds and souls and bodies, we must set our minds on Christ by being renewed in knowledge look to the Word. Look, listen, receive, surrender, submit, sit under its teaching. And Christ is all and is in all. Next week we'll talk about the put on. And I just want to emphasize this at the end. We're Americans, and so we tend to think that our spirituality is as individual as everything else about our lives. America is a land of freedoms and a land of individual expression. Culturally, societally, and religiously. That's what we think. But Paul's instruction for us to put off certain things is cast in societal terms. In other words, don't think you're making progress in holiness if it's just you and your Bible, or you and the Lord. But Paul's instruction for putting on is also given in communal, corporate, societal terms. Jesus did not die to save a collection of individuals. He died for his church, what he calls his bride. So if we're to be renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator, we must take seriously this, that it is we who are being renewed together. It is we who will reach full assurance of faith in Christ Jesus as we exhort one another, as we encourage one another, as we confront one another, as we love one another, as we give to one another and submit to one another. This life into which we have been brought by the grace of the Lord is a community family life. Who is it? Christina Rossetti said, there is no I or thou in love. So too in the church. No Greek, no Jew, no barbarian, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no Scythian, no slave, no free. But Christ is all and in all. As we grow, let us grow toward Christ together. Amen. And next week we'll talk about what it is that we are to put on as those who are in Christ together. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you have saved us, redeemed us, called us by name, and made us your own. That you have gathered us, not as individuals, but as a body, with Christ as the head. Help us to put off the things that we used to love, those sins that used to dominate our lives. Help us, Lord, to put on the new self, renewed in knowledge after your image. Help us to recognize that where we stand in grace, we stand as a body. And help us to love one another, to be kind to one another as a part of that body. Help us, Lord, as we dig into your word, knowing that it is only in knowledge of you that we will be renewed. And so we must set our minds upon you by looking at you in your word. Help us to do this. Help us to do the things we cannot do for ourselves. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.